From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the second day of November 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk with the folks at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, about today's agricultural futures markets. Later in the program, Harry Cooney will be here from GrowMark to help us take our Tuesday look at the agricultural energies. At the bottom of this program, we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, about the agricultural weather forecast. And along the way, we'll hear an update of agricultural news from Dave Dickey. And I'll bring you the statisticians from Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota, probably for the last time this year, with updates of crop progress and production in their areas. And it all happens on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished like this. December wheat at $6.94 and one quarter of a cent, down 8 1/4. The March at 7.34, 8 1/2 lower. May wheat at 7.55 1/2, down 6 1/4. And July at 7.65 3/4 for the new crop, down 6 3/4. Hard red December at 7.48 1/2, down 5 3/4. December corn, $5.75 3/4, a penny and a half lower. The March at 5.89 1/4, down 1 1/4. May corn at 5.95 3/4, a half lower. July unchanged at 5.98 3/4. Next year's December corn futures, 4 1/2 cents higher at $5.44 3/4. November soybeans, $12.23 3/4, a penny and a half lower. The January at 12.34, down 1. March contract, in contrast, up 0.5 cent at $12.40 1/2. The May at 12.41 1/4, up 1 1/4. And next year's November soybeans at $11.79 1/2, up 5 1/2 cents. December bean meal at $3.37.70, down a dime. December bean oil up 12 cents at $49.63. Mercantile exchange numbers, December live cattle a dime higher at $98.25. February live cattle at $101.85, at 7 1/2 higher. November feeders at $111.55, up $1.20. In the January at $1.12. Rather, $112.05, up $1.45. December lean hogs at $66.20, a dollar higher for 100 pounds. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Visit us online at willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, December contract, $83.95 a barrel, up a dollar. Ethanol in the November at $2.37 7/10, a penny higher. Natural gas at $3.87 8/10, up 4 6/10. Heating oil or diesel fuel, a penny and 6/10 higher at $2.29 4/10. And the gold futures at $1,356.40, a settlement price there, up $6.20 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 11,199, right at 11,200, in fact. 75 points higher on the day. The U.S. dollar at 76.72 is down 0.57, and the CRB index at 304.98 is up 3.45 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast is calling for, as expected by the National Weather Service. Today, sunny skies, a high near 53 degrees, east winds at about 9 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly clear, a low of about 32 degrees, east-northeast winds at 8 miles an hour. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, a high of 57 degrees. West-southwest winds between 5 and 11. They'll gust up to 16. And Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 37. West-northwest winds at about 11 miles an hour, gusting to 15 again. Thursday should be mostly cloudy, a high near 49. West-northwest winds between 11 and 18, up to 25 on the gust. And Thursday night should be mostly cloudy, a low of just 30 degrees. By the time we get to Friday, skies will be sunny again with a high of 45. Friday night, mostly clear, a low of 26. Saturday, sunny, a high of 50. Saturday night, mostly clear, a low of 35. And when we get to Sunday, it should be sunny again, the high 58 degrees. Sunday night, a low of 39 and mostly clear skies. We'll talk with Don Day about the ag weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and Moline. More information is available from Rob O'Malley in Champaign at 217-378-7633. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Wayne Nelson is out of the office to Dell and M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, but John Hester is on board. Good afternoon to you, John. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Todd.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what happened in the marketplace today. What'd you see and what'd you hear on the squawk box?
Okay, I think there was four or five factors that played on the market today. I think it was a little market consolidation. Government FOMC meeting, there's a little concern about what the government's going to do with the money they're going to pump into the things. It is election day, everybody knows, and kind of what I've read, they think a Republican win or a landslide would be a little friendly to markets, but they, it's not a done deal yet, so they're kind of waiting on to see the election outcome. The guy on the floor told me that wasn't so much of a down day. He said, it was down, but said there was a lack of buyers and not many sellers, and so it was pretty hard for the market to rally much with no buyers. The volume was moderate today. He also thought the bulls were taking profit and shorting market length going into the report next Tuesday because there's a lot of traders that are extremely long this market and made a lot of money.
So they take their profits at this point, kind of a pause in the uptrend of the marketplace. Do you think it will continue to move higher then after we get through the report, maybe next week, of course, depending on whether it shows, roughly speaking, what the market is expecting or not?
I still think December's got $6 to $6.10 in the crosshairs, and I think if Dease corn would happen to drop back to 562, 566, I think the funds and some of the speculators will come in and gobble it up again.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
No, I think that back covers it all, Todd.
Thank you so much, John.
Okay, bye.
John Hester is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon, usually Wayne Nelson, of course, with us. One little quick note here. Some have asked what the acre payments might have looked like in the state of Illinois. It did trigger across the state. The average payment for corn, about $25, probably should have received that, or it should be in the mailboxes. For wheat, $102 on average, the payment for acre. Those come out, of course, for last year's crop. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment. He'll have all the agricultural news on the afternoon. Hey, please don't forget to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org.
In agricultural news, former Federal Reserve Chairman Paul Volcker today says that he did not expect, quote, overpowering results from any policy easing the central bank adopts this week to try to boost U.S. economic recovery. The Fed is widely expected to resume purchases of longer-term securities to inject cash into the economy. Many economists expect the Fed to announce a $500 billion buying program over about 6 months. Volcker says that a fresh injection of Fed cash into the economy could create a risk of inflation longer term, leaving the central bank with more challenges further down the line. Bill Gross, manager of PIMCO, the world's largest mutual fund, says the dollar is in danger of losing 20% of its value over the next few years if the Federal Reserve continues unconventional monetary easing. Gross says, quote, QE2 not only produces more dollars, but it also lowers the yield that investors earn on them and makes foreigners, which is the key to the currencies, it makes foreigners less willing to hold dollars in current form or at current prices. Administration officials say that negotiators will put, quote, maximum effort toward resolving objections in the U.S. Congress to a U.S.-South Korean free trade agreement by the time President Barack Obama goes to Seoul on November 10th. The U.S. and South Korea are trying to resolve beef and auto concerns, blocking U.S. congressional approval of the trade pact. Mike Froman, Deputy National Security Advisor for International Economic Affairs, says, quote, discussions are underway. In an email statement, Canada's Industry Minister Tony Clement denied media reports that Canada has decided to approve BHP's $39 billion hostile bid to acquire the world's top fertilizer maker, Potash Corporation. Clement wrote, quote, I am currently reviewing the facts of the case. As of yet, no decision has been made and no decision or recommendation has been communicated to the investor. Canada's National Post newspaper said on Monday that Investment Canada officials had recommended Ottawa allow the world's largest miner to proceed with its hostile offer, but only on condition that BHP spends billions of dollars on new infrastructure in Canada. Archer Daniels Midland today reported weaker-than-expected quarterly earnings for the first quarter ending September 30th. ADM reported a net profit of $345 million, or 54 cents a share, down from $496 million, or 77 cents per share a year earlier. Profit rose in ADM's corn and oilseed processing segments, but fell in agricultural services. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released one of its last, if not its last, for most states, crop production and weather reports. It shows that despite the early week storm system that dumped above average precip on portions of the Great Plains in the Midwest, drier conditions toward the week's end allowed producers time to harvest 8% of the nation's corn crop. By the 31st day of October, 91% of this year's crop was harvested, 67 percentage points ahead of last year, 30 points ahead of the five-year average, and the earliest date since 1991. Soybeans nationally, soybean producers had harvested 96% of this year's crop by the 31st day of October, 46 percentage points ahead of last year, 17 points ahead of the five-year average. In Iowa, harvest was complete on nearly all soybean fields in the northern two-thirds of the state, while a small amount of acreage in the southern third remained standing. Winter wheat, by the week's end, 92% of the 2011 winter wheat crop had been seeded, 11 points ahead of last year, 4 points ahead of the five-year average. Mostly ideal field work conditions prevailing throughout the early fall. Seeding was completed or nearly complete ahead of normal across much of the Pacific Northwest and the Great Plains. Nationwide, winter wheat emerged advanced to 73% as of the 31st day of October, 8 points ahead of last year, on par with the five-year average. Overall, 46% of the winter wheat crop reported in good to excellent condition. That's down slightly from the ratings last week and 18 percentage points below this same time last year. Now here are the state statisticians with updates from their regions.
This is Brad Parks, Deputy Director from USDA NAS, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending October 31st, 2010. As November begins, Iowa producers are wrapping up their 2010 harvest. Farmers are now focusing on fall field work. Primary activities include tilling fields, installing tile, and baling corn stalks. Growers are also moving forward with anhydrous application as soil temperatures have begun to drop. 94% of the corn acres have been harvested, which is 36 days ahead of last year and 26 days ahead of the five-year average, and the furthest corn harvest has been by October 31st since 2000, when 97% of the corn acres had been harvested. Nearly all the soybean acres have been harvested in the northern two-thirds of the state, while a few number of acres remain to be harvested in the southern third. Again, this has been Brad Parks, Deputy Director from USDA NAS Iowa Field Office. Thank you.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending October 31st. Dry conditions continue to take their toll on pastures, and livestock producers have been forced to feed hay in many areas as pasture supplies run short. Numerous areas in the south where wheat has been sown are reporting poor emergence resulting from the dry soils. Farmers have moved on to spreading lime and fertilizer and completing fall tillage in addition to applying anhydrous ammonia as soil temperatures have cooled down. Corn harvest is now virtually complete at 98%, well ahead of the five-year average of 71%. Last year, corn harvest was only 18% complete on this date. Soybean harvest is also nearing completion at 99%, compared to 35% 1 year ago and 81% for the five-year average. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Crop Weather Report for the week ending October 31st, 2010. Harvest continued at an above-average pace as warm, windy conditions prevailed during the week. Corn harvest advanced to 88% complete, more than 3 weeks ahead of average. Soybean harvest neared completion at 98%, and sorghum reached 78% complete. With grain coming in quickly, elevators have been challenged to handle and store the large quantities of grain. Cattle have been grazing corn stalks. This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, Deputy Director for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with a weekly crop weather report for the week ending October 31st, 2010. Favorable harvest conditions were interrupted by a large storm early in the week, which brought rain, snow, and high winds. Precipitation amounts varied. The heaviest amounts were received in the northeastern areas with an average of 2.8 inches. Amounts were lighter in the southern part of the state and ranged from 9-tenths of an inch in the southwest to 7-tenths of an inch in the south-central and southeastern areas. Wind gusts of 50 miles per hour or stronger were recorded at locations throughout the state Tuesday and Wednesday. Measurable snow fell in the northern and central areas. A few reporters noted that saturated fields have slowed harvest progress. As of October 31st, corn was 87% harvested compared to 11% last year and 60% for the five-year average. Corn moisture content was 14%, unchanged from the previous week, but lower than the five-year average of 20%. Sunflowers harvested advanced 3 percentage points from the previous week to reach 94% complete. This compares to 23% last year and 60% average. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the Crop Weather Report for the week ending October 31st. Damaging high winds brought rain early in the week that promoted winter wheat emergence, but more moisture was needed to replenish depleted soil moisture supplies. As the record harvest pace comes to an end for field crops, farmers began to complete fall tillage and fertilizer applications. Pasture conditions still show damage from the hot, dry summer weather. 98% of the corn crop has been harvested, compared with 27% for last year and 63% for the five-year average. 98% of the soybean crop has been harvested, compared with 61% for last year and 83% for the five-year average. 94% of the winter wheat acreage has been planted, compared with 53% for last year and 84% for the five-year average. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
And I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason at the Illinois Public Media Studios in Urbana-Champaign. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of IPM and the U of I.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
On this Tuesday afternoon, the time to check, as we do each and every week, the agricultural energy markets. On the phone line with us today, Harry Cooney. He's with GrowMark in Normal and Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Harry.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Put you in the wrong city there for a moment. Bloomington, Normal.
We're kind of on the line.
Like Urbana-Champaign.
There you
twin
go.
City, so one is like the other sometimes,
that's
unless
right.
you live there, of course.
We're here. That's the main thing.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about these energy markets. And in particular, I might go directly to diesel fuel to begin with,
because
it's quite likely that producers, because they've had a lot of time to do fall tillage, have really used a lot of diesel fuel this fall, more than maybe they have in previous years. I'm not quite certain about that, but certainly their expectation would have not to have been doing quite as much fall tillage as they did. So they'll be looking, I suppose, to book either to replenish the supplies now or to book it for the future. What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts continue to be that we'll look for this period of time sometime between Thanksgiving and Christmas to begin a program for filling tanks that have been drained down. Like you say, we've used a lot of fuel, still a lot of field work going on out there. You know, we got a lot of the tillage work winding down, but a lot of anhydrous going on ever since the end of last week when it cooled off, a lot of anhydrous going. And so there will be tanks needing to be filled, but then also contracting need to be done for next year. For now, we're going to give it some time, a few more weeks. However, though, with this demand around the world starting to resurface, maybe not as much here in the U.S., but around the world, a couple areas, Latin America and parts of Europe, especially like Germany's economy, coming around to diesel fuel demand strong in those areas. We're exporting diesel fuel to those countries even. And so over time, I think we're going to have to start looking to do some contracting for next year in that Thanksgiving to Christmas. Sometimes that period of weakness can extend all around into Valentine's Day. But my concern is that if this demand is coming back, the lows might be put in place earlier than they would normally be. So I think we'll want to be getting at it earlier. I'm hoping for some type of price setback from present levels to be able to start doing some contracting. If we don't get the setback, we'll probably still go ahead and lock some in for next year, because even if you can't get the setback, history suggests you go higher out into late winter and spring of the next year.
That's for diesel fuel. What about gasoline, propane, the other fuels?
Well, gasoline is similar, very similar pattern to the diesel fuel. When we start doing some gasoline, we'll start doing some gasoline also. Propane, we'll start doing it about the same time. The energy complex overall tends to hit lows for the year from this late November through early February time period. So we want to be looking at not just diesel fuel, not just gasoline, but also propane in here. The upper Midwest, supplied by the Kansas terminal, the large terminal at Kansas, in pretty good shape with stocks. But the southern Midwest is more serviced from propane out of the Gulf Coast region. That area could get a little tighter, and those prices could be a little jumpier. So the southern areas that pull off of some of the southern terminals, those prices may be a little more jumpy throughout winter, depending on what type of winter we have for the propane demand also. A lot of propane demand here in the wintertime, and without much of a grain drying season, now we're going to start looking ahead to winter for that price structure.
Harry, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You have a good afternoon. That's Harry Cooney. He's with GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. He joins us once a month on a Tuesday. We do agricultural energies each and every Tuesday here on the Closing Market Report. Back in 2 minutes when we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather about the agricultural weather forecast.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's National Candy Corn Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1815, Andrew Jackson Downing was born. An American horticulturalist, he was the author of The Fruits and Fruit Trees of America. In 1894, the first U.S. patent for a time clock was issued to Daniel Cooper of Rochester, New York. In 1931, the DuPont Company unveiled Duprene, the first synthetic rubber. Later named neoprene, it was the first synthetic rubber that resisted oil and gasoline. In 1944, Thomas Migley, Jr. died. An American engineer and chemist, he discovered the anti-knock additive for gasoline, as well as a cleaning agent called Freon, which eventually replaced toxic gases previously used in home refrigeration. And in 1950, concentrated milk was first test marketed in the U.S. The Seal Test brand, produced by the Clover Dairy Company, was made by removing water at relatively low temperatures and pressures, producing a milk that, when water was re-added, tastes just like fresh whole milk. Removing the water concentrates the milk to one-third of its original volume, yielding a heavy cream-looking milk that improved shelf life, reduced storage space, and lowered transportation costs. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural weather forecast. Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming is with us today. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Let's start here in the Midwest. Tell me about what we can expect over the next several days in Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska. Kind of the Corn Belt, please.
Well, we've been enjoying some really nice weather here lately, but that's going to change. Not so much because we got a lot of wet weather coming our way. Some showers are in the forecast as we get into late tomorrow and into Thursday and Friday. But more than anything, you know, be ready for some pretty chilly temperatures. Some plunging air out of Canada, the northern Great Lakes, is going to come into the Midwest, and we're going to see the coldest air of the season move on in. We're not expecting much precipitation. It's going to be more to off to our east, but certainly be ready for some colder weather.
Colder weather doesn't come with a lot of precip, but it's that time of year, I suppose, when weather does change to a colder season. Will these be out of the norm temperatures or just a normal type of cold temperatures?
For early November, really, maybe a little bit below normal. And the trend over the next 5 to 10 days will be for temperatures to actually average below normal across most of the Midwest and Corn Belt and basically all areas east of the Mississippi. Will it be severe cold? No. We are actually a little overdue for some colder weather. So this is not extraordinary, but we are certainly seeing a pattern developing next week and the following week that's going to bring several storms out of Canada and across the North Pacific into the lower 48 states. So we're about ready to embark on a much more active weather pattern this week and especially next week and beyond.
So the high temperatures, what, in the mid-50s and low temperatures in the low to mid-30s, is that right?
Oh, we could be colder than that. Would not be surprised if we see some upper 20s and even some days maybe only in some areas in the upper 40s and lower 50s. So definitely a cool down.
Turn your attention to South America, where they're in the middle of their growing season.
Well, the weather right now looks pretty favorable down south. I would say that it might be a touch on the dry side, a little bit dry down in portions of Argentina. But rain chances, temperatures, and conditions over Brazil and most of Argentina really looking pretty good over the next 10 days down south. Temperatures are going to be just a hair below normal, but actually most areas are going to have near normal chances of precipitation and close to normal to slightly below normal temperatures.
And then let's travel around the opposite side of the world. Better check in on that wheat crop into Australia. It had been very dry there. Does it remain that way?
Well, there's a little bit of precipitation in the forecast, and it's also going to be getting a little bit cooler. Is it going to be widespread, heavy soaking rains for the wheat areas of Australia? No, but we do at least have some shower chances now along with a bit of a cool down.
Any place else around the planet that we ought to check in on before I let you go for the day?
Well, I think just here in the next, starting late this week and next week and beyond, I think a lot of the action attention will be focused right here at home as the weather pattern starts to get more active.
Thank you so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Friday afternoon. You can hear him in his completion again, if you'd like, at willag.org. That's willag.org. You have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stewart-peterson.com.